Hey, how you guys doing?
What's up?
Not too much. First, real quick on your Lions thing. I'm not too concerned. I mean, they still got a great offensive roster. They got Goff at quarterback. Dan Campbell, the ultimate motivator, is still there. You know, there's little questions on the offensive line, and, you know, they still, you know, missing McNeil to start the season hurts, but I think they're going to be fine. But I was primarily calling to talk about, you know, moving my kid in. It's my second. I have two kids. My daughter stayed local here at Schoolcraft College, but we moved my son up to Ferris State on August 22nd. Again, it's not that far. It's 3 hours from our house. But, you know, like you said, that goodbye is so tough when you're trying to walk away from their dorm room. And, you know, I had to go back for about a half dozen hugs. And finally, in the last one, he's kind of just like, Dad, you got to go. I think he indicates he was ready. And, you know, I think he's adjusting pretty well. He said the Ferris State needs to build a bigger football stadium. They went to the first game last Thursday. It's, I guess, just packed with people.
That's awesome. That's a great problem to have.
Yeah, it's tough. Yeah. What was that?
I said it's a great problem to have. You need to build a bigger football stadium. Yeah, I mean, look, having experienced it yesterday, all I can say is parents have been through it, and you obviously just went through it. It is... until you do it, you can prepare yourself, and you can say to yourself, oh, we're going to be fine. But man, I'll never forget the image of walking away and turning over my shoulder, and he's looking back at me, and I'm like, and he's all alone, and there's people around that all seem to be having fun, and I'm just like, okay.
It's a lot of emotions.
Yep. Hey, thank you for the phone call, Dave. 248-539-9797. Gator, there's only one respondent that commented about feeling better.
All right.
Dan tweeted us back. He voted. Obviously, I feel better about this team's chances to win the Super Bowl than I did a year ago. I feel better. The team is healthy. They have a tough schedule, which will help come playoff time.
That's a reason. I think another reason to throw in there is they may feel like they took a step back last year, despite being 15-2, but they lost in their first playoff game.
Yep.
And they're not happy about that.
No.
It builds a chip on the shoulder. It builds the hunger does not stop. You're probably hungrier, and maybe that's a reason why you think that they're better suited this year than what you did going into last year.
Yeah, and I, you know, the people I think that had the good fortune of getting to see the joint practices, that helped me a lot. Like, oh yeah, Goff and Amon-Ra, really good. J-Mo, incredibly fast.
He's not bad, yeah.
Jahmyr Gibbs, great in the open field and gets to the open field quickly.
These skill position players are insane how good they are.
Yep.
And then the tight end is Sam Laporta.
Yep. And David Montgomery.
Yeah.
And what did they do? They messed around and found another weapon on offense in the third round. I mean, I still believe that offense wins championships in the modern day NFL. Philly kind of went the other way with that, but over the last 5-6 years, I've really had to let go of one of my core beliefs when it comes to football about defense. And, you know, I think they're going to have a great offense again, all predicated on those guys in the middle of the offensive line. Now, Dan Campbell did address how he felt about them going into game week. We'll play it for you later in the show. 248-539-9797. So, other things from college football over the weekend. We want to talk some Michigan and Michigan State. We will get into the Wolverines and the Spartans. A look back and also a look ahead, because both having far more interesting opponents coming up this weekend. It is Carson Anderson here on 97.1 The Ticket. Michigan Auto Law. Doug Carson, Scott Anderson, Kang behind the glass, Kenny answering phones. It's Tuesday here on Carson Anderson, and we're into the fall, and it's game week for the Lions and Michigan. Michigan State both played this weekend. Wolverines and Spartan fans, look, you know, you come out of game one, and there's stuff that you love, and there are things that are works in progress that need to get shored up. You know, you can come at this from a variety of directions, but I guess the direction we'd like to take is, and when it comes to those works in progress, which would you like to see your competent coaching staff attack? Which would you like to see, hey, a point of emphasis this week should be to shore up blank? So obviously they both have bigger, better opponents this coming weekend. Wolverines traveling to Oklahoma. State's got Boston College coming in. what did you like the most of what you saw out of Michigan State, Gator, and what would you like to see them shore up before they get to hit the field with the Eagles?
I mean, with Michigan State, it's a tale of two halves. They played so well in the first half and offensively did nothing in the second half. But what was constant, what you have to feel great about, is the defense. I mean, they had 12 tackles for loss, 4 quarterback sacks. They had an interception. They forced 3 fumbles. Didn't recover any of them, but they forced 3 of them. They had a safety. Could have had a second safety, thanks to the great punting by Ryan Eichley. The defense was really good. They gave up like 220 yards in offense or whatever it was. There was only 29 yards on the ground on 24 carries. I mean, they did a really nice job defensively. And yes, I understand it's Western Michigan. It's week one. But defensively, I guess if that's the thing I'm going to be happiest about, it's the defense. The thing that I want this team to work on, it's always going to be, I think I feel better about the run blocking than I do the pass blocking. That was a bit of an issue. I'd like to see if they can shore that up. Now, maybe that was just simply castaways. Okay, in the second half, they showed a different offensive line, whether it was a difference in players or just players shifting from the left side to the right side or right side to left side, whatever it was, it wasn't working out so well in the second half. So if they go back to whatever alignment they used in the first half and that's the offensive line number one that they're going to use, I'm fine with it. But whatever they tried to do in the second half, it just didn't work. So it's going to have to be some sort of a blocking scheme that they use to make sure you can account for a defensive end who is really good in the game against Michigan State on Friday night and doesn't have a great track record of being really good. So we'll see.
All right. So for Michigan, look, it's early and we understand the opponent. I think there's a chance that there's a chance this is going to be a fun run next couple of years offensively. We're early where we're sort of licensing ourselves to overreact to one game, and we're going to give everyone that license as the day goes on. But yeah, it's you could see what this kid brings to the table. There were enough holes opened up to have 2 long touchdown. Well, one wasn't a touchdown run, but close to a touchdown run. The running game had some big explosives. I thought Jason Avant said there's a difference between a fastball and a free throw, and he's got to know when to fire the fastball and when to toss a free throw. And he had a pass to Marlon Klein that was a free throw, but that came later in the game where he kind of had to show some touch and showed that he could do that, whether it was an adjustment he made or just, hey, I know this. I got this. The one thing I found most interesting was it was late first half. Michigan's lead had been cut to 17-10 following the field goal and after the fumble kickoff. Wolverines get a 2-minute drill and they go backwards. And now New Mexico's using timeouts. New Mexico's saying we're going to get the ball back. And Michigan's facing the 3rd and 14. And they could run it and make New Mexico use their last timeout and punt it back, which is what I expected with a freshman quarterback backed up in your own territory. They ran a slant pattern to Channing Goodwin, who made the catch and got the first down.
Nice job, by
dude. It was really struggling. I'm very, very deliberate about it. It's Channing Goodwin, not Channing Stribling. Hit Channing Goodwin on the slant, got the first down into New Mexico territory. It was great that they executed the play. What I found interesting was the first test drive of a bit of a pressure throw, right? They had faith in the kid to run that play. I felt like there was a previous versions of Michigan football would have handed it off, make him use their last time out and put it back. But they went for it, and that resulted in a touchdown drive right before half. I thought that was a big deal. As far as things that need to get short, the fact that they called the play tells me where they're at as a staff mentally with this kid. Michigan gave up 2 drives, 2 long time-consuming drives. One was 12 plays and 82 yards. The other was 15 plays and 75 yards. In those 2 drives, there was a lot of dink and dunk down the field, which I don't know if they were content just to let him do that or whatever, but that counted for almost 2/3 of New Mexico's yards in the whole game. But those 2 drives were, I don't know if it's something that Oklahoma sees or whether or not it's no big deal and they'll be fine. But I found that to be the one part of the game where Michigan's defense couldn't seem to get off the field.
And it happened in the middle part of the game, right? The second and third quarters?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
So it's not like it happened at the end when...
No, they gave it one that sort of at the end that they ended up getting a stop, but that was one where they had a lot of they were getting depth guys in, and those depth guys looked pretty good. But anyway, long story short, these are things that coaching staffs need to shore up before they go into bigger games. 248-539-9797. Love to hear from you, Wolverine and Spartan fans. What did you see that you liked the most, and what would you like to see get shored up? Because things are going to get real here real quick. Let's get back to your open line calls. Mike is in Troy, and he's on 97.1. Hi, Mike.
Hey, guys. Happy post-Labor Day. Before I get to my Lions comment, Gator, what the heck is a quarterback throwing the ball up 23-0? We had Michigan State minus 22.5. Damn, that pissed us off. But with the Lions, my biggest fear or concern is the offensive line. I know you like Radulich, but when you have Zeitler and Ragnow there, they ran the ball great. Not saying they're not going to have a great offense, but the offensive line scares the death out of me. And plus the new coordinators, if you do your research, teams with new coordinators struggle. Like 2 years ago, Philadelphia struggled, and last year they won the Super Bowl. Yeah. That's what really scares me, guys.
Okay, hold on, Mike. You know who they had new coordinators last year when they won the Super Bowl, right?
No, that was the year before.
No, they changed them up again. They had new coordinators again.
Then my bad then. Sorry, guys.
It's okay. Look, I mean, it's a challenge. It's something that – it's not just a punch button, hey, they're going to be fine. They might be, but it's something until we see it, there's a reason to be a little bit hesitant about the new coordinators. I mean, I don't think the people that are running the Detroit Lions – would go out and hire people that don't know what they're doing, per se. I mean, you can make a bad hire, but don't they kind of have a clue as to what they have here in terms of personnel and know what they can and can't do? I have some faith that they're going to be able to get this done, that the new coordinators were brought in because they fit. One of them, I mean, they've both been here before, both been here previously, and they're both – you know, seem to be guys that don't need to put their own stamp on it. They'll have their own personalities, but let's face it, there's a lot to like the way things were going here.
I'm not saying the coordinators are going to work or not going to work for the Lions, the new coordinators, but I want everyone to have all the information because everyone always brings up the Eagles. They hired two new coordinators, won the Super Bowl. The year before that, they had two new coordinators and fired both of them. Okay, so they went back-to-back years with new coordinators on offense and defense. So it did work last year, but the year before that, it clearly didn't work. So I'm just saying I want, you know, that it also cannot work. I think that's why people are also like,
and they also have a new offensive coordinator this year.
Yeah. So
3 years in a row.
For offense. But yeah. So, I mean, it's a chemistry issue. It takes time. They have to learn their players. Who knows? That's the variable people don't know about this year. I think they feel pretty confident. Dan Campbell's still there. You guys have mentioned he called plays, you know, when Anthony Lynn was let go. But there isn't, like, I don't just pencil it in, like, hey, the offense is going to be totally fine. I haven't seen it with John Morton yet, and you guys haven't either.
No, and that's why I say, until we see it, we don't know. But I think they're in a good spot from a standpoint of those guys have been here. They both worked with this team and these players.
I think it helps having a veteran quarterback who's been here the whole time since Dan Campbell came on board. So he knows the offense very well.
248-539-9797. We'll go to Dan next in Warren. You're on 97 on the ticket. Hi, Dan.
Hey, Doug. Good show. Happy holiday.
Happy holidays to you.
I want to talk about the Michigan game on Saturday night.
Yep.
That targeting call was bogus. You know, he didn't directly hit helmet to helmet.
He did.
Well, he did. He didn't hit the crown. It wasn't with the crown.
No, the first part of his body to hit the helmet of the quarterback was his helmet, but it wasn't the crown of the helmet.
Yeah, that alone helped New Mexico's go down the field for their touchdown. You know, there were two plays, and there was another play in the same drive that I disagree with. But I think that instead of being 34-10, it turned out to be 27-17.
Yeah, it changed the game a little bit. Dan, I'm gonna revisit because I did a lot of studying on the targeting rule, and the one thing I always look for is the bolts on the helmet, hitting with the area on the helmet above the bolts, and he didn't. This is not, the quarterbacks are not protected any different. Now, there's something called a defenseless player, but the quarterbacks are only singled out in the rule book as being a defenseless player who has obviously given himself, a quarterback, after any change of possession, when he has obviously given himself up, or is obviously given himself up. So quarterback, you can't take free shots at the quarterback after a change of possession. You can't take shots at the quarterback when they slide. But there's nothing about when they're throwing. So I'm going to have to go back and revisit the rule because that didn't seem to meet the what I thought was a criteria for targeting.
Yeah, I think there are different points that you have to get to call it targeting. I thought it was a borderline call at best.
Yeah.
Because I thought Barham did a nice job of actually, as he's approaching the quarterback, turns his head a little bit to the side so as not to hit him with the crown of the helmet. The problem is that, A, I think he did launch himself because you're tackling. That's which I tackle.
Yeah.
And the second part was problematic for him is that he did hit him with his helmet. And it was literally helmet-to-helmet contact. But what it wasn't was crown of the helmet-to-helmet contact. And I thought maybe that might be enough to not give him the penalty for it. Obviously, it was a penalty the way they called it on the field. And then once you go to an appeals process, if you think the NCAA was going to give Michigan a break of any kind after the cheating scandal and all that went on, I think you're nuts.
The Big Ten files the appeal, and it's a different branch of the NCAA they appeal to than anything to do with enforcement. But at the end of the day, I'm gonna go revisit it and find out what I'm missing for the targeting, the what needs to be checked off for it to be targeting. But hey, look, that's a position they got a lot of talent at. They're young kids. Showed out, and they've still got a shot, and I think they'll have a pissed off Jayshon Barham. Hopefully, a pissed off Jayshon Barham that doesn't have any run that risk anymore.
Yeah, and the last note on that is that it wouldn't have been 34 at that point because it wasn't a fumble. He was down. He was clearly down.
Yeah, that's what I thought they were reviewing the whole time. More of your phone calls and feedback coming up. It is Carson Anderson 97.1.